Tribes, chapter 28. The steps were damp and slippery, and the darkness intense. Could he remember what floor it was on? The rebels raced up the steps behind him, two at a time, eager to know the secret, not to help Glory. Kevin didn't care. They were there. One more floor. Would he ever reach it? Maybe he was wrong. He hoped and prayed he was wrong. Salam liked Glory. Sometimes he seemed to be as fond of her as if she'd been his own sister. Surely he wouldn't risk her life on the walk of death. And yet, there was a dark side to Salam, a side Kevin could never understand. If someone went against him, he needed revenge. He turned on one more floor. Suddenly a blast of wind and rain caught his face and he knew he was there. He held Tommy back by the arm, placed a finger to his lips. He couldn't risk a noise now, not if Glory was balanced somewhere between life and death. He swung round one of the old pillars and there was what he had dreaded seeing, Glory halfway along the walk of death. He caught his breath. Salam was standing on the other side, encouraging her to come on. He was smiling, but there was something about that smile that scared the life out of Kevin. You can do it, Glory. You're brilliant, he was saying softly. Tommy saw them in the same instant and couldn't keep quiet. Glory, he called out in alarm. Taken by surprise, Glory turned her head. She began to rock, her balance going. No, she mustn't fall. Kevin ran forward. Stand up straight, Glory, he ordered. Her voice was shaking when she answered. I can't, I'm too scared. Come on, Glory. If I can do it, you can do it. You're better than any boy. Remember? Glory was biting her lip, trying not to cry. Her eyes went down. The last thing he wanted her to do. No. His voice was still soft but firm. He tried to remember how he had felt as he walked across, just the way Glory was feeling now. A rush of steps behind him. The rebels were here. Salam's eyes filled with venom when he saw them. What are they doing here? His menacing gaze moved to Kevin. You betrayed us. Yes, I did. Kevin said it proudly. This, McAfee, is a walk of death. He could hear their gasps as the rebels realised what it entailed. They hadn't expected anything as life-threatening as this. None of them would have been brave enough or stupid enough to do it. Kev, help me. Glory's voice was soft but filled with terror. Come to me, Glory, Salam coaxed her, and Kevin was sure that was the worst thing she could do. She had to come back to him. Yet how could she? Coming back would be even more dangerous than going on. It would mean turning around. But going on would lead her straight to Salam. No, that would be the most dangerous thing of all. There was only one thing for it. He was mad to even consider it, but it had to be done. I'm coming to get you, Glory, he whispered. Tommy grabbed his arms. No, Kev, that beat might not hold both of you. It's too dangerous. He could hear Glory's panting breath. Kev. She spoke his name like a prayer, and he knew then he had no choice. He had to bring her back. Better you than me, pal, McAfee said. This time Kevin didn't hesitate. He looked at Glory standing terrified in the middle of the beam, and he began to walk across. He wouldn't look down. He would forget the black depth beneath him. He would concentrate only on Glory. When I get close, Glory, he said, taking another faltering step, I'm going to sit astride the beam. Then I'll help you to sit down too, and we'll bum our way back, okay? He could hear her breathing, quick and heavy. She'd be safer coming on to me, Salam said softly. No, she wouldn't. Kevin looked straight at Salam, standing at the other end of the beam. No, she wouldn't. I don't trust you, Salam. Go on, Kev, you're almost there. Tommy's voice was behind him, urging him on. A voice to be trusted. Not as exciting as Salam's, but a voice that would never let him down. He was so close now he could touch Glory, but he didn't dare. He could see her shaking with fear, but Glory still stood straight. I'm going to sit on the beam, Glory, he said. It was trickier than he had thought, more dangerous. Nothing to hold on to as he bent and crouched down. A wave of noise hit him as he caught a glimpse of what was below. Nothing. An eternity of empty floors. No! He drew his eyes away, concentrated on gripping the beam with both hands and letting first one leg swing over and then the other. He had made it. Now at least he was sitting. He edged closer to Glory, murmuring words of comfort all the time. He gripped one of her legs and it shook under his hand. She's going to pull us both down, he thought, as terrified as she was. I want you to crouch down, Glory. You're okay. I've got you. She tried to move, still shaken. Steady now, Kevin whispered. You can do it. Just pretend you're on the beam at school. There was no sound around them, only the wind and rain outside. It was as if the rebels and Tommy had disappeared. They were so silent. Kevin could feel Salam's eyes boring into him, but he wouldn't look. All his concentration was on Glory. Glory was crouching now. He could hear the sob in her voice when she spoke. "Oh, Kev. Oh, Kev. Kev." She kept repeating his name like a litany. "If I survive, I'll never do anything this silly again." "That would take a miracle," he told her. And in that instant, she was down in front of him. A cheer went up from Tommy and the rebels, but from Salam, only silence. "Now we have to bum our way back." Glory tutted. "Please don't use the B word, Kev," she said nervously. He squeezed her shoulders. Their lives were literally hanging in the balance, and yet she was telling him off the same bum. They began edging their way back slowly. He held her by the waist. He could feel that she was more relaxed now. "We're going to get splinters in our..." She giggled with nerves. "I can live with that," Kevin whispered in her ear. They were going to make it. He felt his own body relax. They were going to make it. Then it happened. An ominous creak. "What was that?" Glory stammered. Before Kevin could answer, Tommy shouted, "Get back here quick, the beam's going to go." Another creak. Kevin felt movement beneath him. Glory screamed. Now it really was a race against time. Only a short distance to go. Yet if this beam went, it would be far too far. "Come on, Kev, give me your hand." Tommy held out his hand. Kevin could almost reach him. He slipped his arm tighter around Glory's waist. The beam was going. It moved beneath him. It creaked. It crackled. No time to waste. He grabbed Tommy's hand, just reaching it. One pull and they would be safe. But one more creak and the beam would rend itself apart and tumble down. He couldn't wait any longer. He threw himself back, dragging Glory with him. McAfee reached down and grabbed a screaming Glory by the hair, by the collar. Tommy grabbed Kevin's jacket and pulled. McAfee dragged at Glory. The beam gave way, splintered and broke in two, just as Kevin and his sister were hauled to safety. They watched as it tumbled, crashing its way down the murky floors below. It sent up clouds of dust and debris as it fell. They seemed to be watching forever, mesmerised, until at last it crashed to the ground far beneath them. The walk of death was no more. "I thought he liked me, Kev," Glory sobbed. "I thought Salam really liked me." Kevin gazed across the chasm into the gloom at the other side and caught his breath. Salam had gone. Chapter 29. Kevin never saw Salam again. No one did. Within the next few days, Salam and his mother left the district. "And about time too," some said, glad to be rid of him. "That mother of his has a lot to answer for." Yet others blamed his father. "He's a drunk, always been a drunk. He never gave the boy a chance. I'll never understand why she stayed with him for so long." Who was right, and which was the real Salam? The friend whose voice held so much sadness when he said, "You don't know how lucky you are to have a normal family." Or the boy who had the wickedness in him to use Glory, smiling, adoring Glory, to get his revenge. Perhaps he'd never know, never find out. There were mysteries still surrounding Salam. What did happen to Stash? Who pushed Doc? Questions that might never be answered. Without Salam, there was no tribe, and without the tribe, the other gangs lost their fascination. No one had ever beaten the tribe, and now no one ever could. As for Glory, she recovered miraculously. Kevin even had a horrible notion that she had turned her attention on McAfee. "He saved my life," she kept telling him. Would Glory never learn any sense? He hoped not. He kind of liked his daft sister just the way she was. So it was over. The spell had been broken, and life became normal again. Or as normal as it could be if he lived with the Davidsons. Yet sometimes in the middle of the night, he'd still wake up sweating, remembering the oath he had sworn in blood in that candlelit shop so long ago, remembering the vengeance promised for anyone who broke it, haunted for the rest of his life by ghosts and demons. And he would imagine Salam in the dark corner of the room, ready to step out of the shadows with that enigmatic smile on his face. And Kevin knew then that what he had read on that wall long ago was true. Salam is evil. The end.